In The Open Society and Its Enemies, philosopher Karl Popper writes, "Less well known is the paradox of tolerance. Unlimited tolerance must lead to the disappearance of tolerance. If we extend unlimited tolerance even to those who are intolerant, if we are not prepared to defend a tolerant society against the onslaught of the intolerant, then the tolerant will be destroyed, and tolerance with them." Sit back, grab yourself a cup of coffee or whatever it is that you're into. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network.
America Emboldened.
Greg, I feel emboldened.
You don't know the founding fathers. You don't know what they did. You don't know what they sacrificed. We have lost touch with the principles in the Constitution. Nobody's read the Declaration of Independence. You are voting for socialism, and you got what you voted for.
Welcome, Bold Americans, to another episode of America Emboldened. I'm your host, Greg Bolden, here on the America Out Loud Network. As always, go to www.americaoutloud.com, where you can check out all the back episodes, as well as great content from all my colleagues. You can also check out the 24/7 America Out Loud Talk Radio Network, available on your favorite mobile device, on your computer, anywhere where you can access the internet. Also, that goes to all of your favorite podcast formats as well, which is possibly how you're listening to this right now. All right, let's get straight into it. You've probably heard the left talk about, you know, how there needs to be acceptance and tolerance. And it got me to thinking about, you know, what happens if everybody just begins to be tolerant of everything? Tolerance does not equal acceptance. Tolerance sometimes can just simply mean, all right, I understand that's how you feel about things. I'm going to tolerate that. I'm going to let it go in order to keep sanity amongst all of us. But what happens when everybody starts saying, well, you have to be tolerant or else you're a hateful person? Eventually, the intolerant act will take over. And this was the studies back in 1945 by Karl Popper. He's a very famous philosopher who was looking into if he could find a way to take the different political ideologies, such as libertarianism, conservatism, classical liberalism, and socialism, and then make it into one political philosophy to help support a liberal democracy, which is what we're supposed to be here in the United States, a republic that's exercised underneath the liberal democracy. And when he was doing this, he was also doing a response to the outbreak of Nazism and how could that have come to be. And what he comes up with is there were situations where they encouraged to tolerate intolerance. His conclusion, don't do it. So at the beginning of the show today, I read you that quote. I'm going to continue that quote with what he says beyond that, then break it down for you. He says, "In this formulation, I do not imply, for instance, that we should always suppress the utterance of intolerant philosophies, as long as we can counter them by rational argument and keep them in check by public opinion. Suppression would certainly be unwise. But we should claim the right to suppress them, if necessary, even by force, for it may easily turn out that they are not prepared to meet us on the level of rational argument. But begin by denouncing all arguments. They may forbid their followers to listen to rational arguments because it is deceptive, and teach them to answer arguments by the use of their fist or pistols." I bring this up today because it's chatters popping up online that I guess on Reddit there's a lot of hate speech towards Pride Month. Brands are starting to drop out of their support. You probably heard the stories about Bud Light, Target, Adidas, all these different companies that, you know, the whole concept of go woke, go broke. That's what the Republicans kind of have deemed this type of behavior. But what is wokeism to begin with? You know, what does it mean to be woke? Well, at the beginning of being woke, it just simply meant being educated about the background of things in order to have better awareness. But being woke now seems like it means a little bit more. You either accept what we believe, or we cancel you, or you're a bigot, or you're a hateful individual. There's no middle ground. And this is the part of Karl Popper where he says that it's important to denounce some of these arguments because they're not following rational arguments. They're deceptive. It's the whole, what is a woman? And now saying that, well, yep, a man can be a woman and a woman can be a man. Well, that's how they feel, but can they truly be a man? Can they truly be a woman? Is that a rational argument? Is that the same as gender? Is that the same as sex? Is that the same as gender identity? Right? Where is the rational argument on both sides of the equation? There doesn't seem to be one right now. There's a side trying to have a rational argument and a side that's just saying, well, that's the way that people feel, so that's the way it should be. Well, when we have that unlimited tolerance, eventually the tolerance will completely disappear and the intolerant that we're telling everybody to feel this way will take over society, or at least that is what Karl Popper pointed out happened with World War II and Nazism, and that's what happens in a developed society. And so he concludes in his statement, we should therefore claim in the name of tolerance the right not to tolerate the intolerance. We should claim that any movement preaching intolerance places itself outside the law. And we should consider incitement to intolerance as persecution as criminal in the same way as we should consider incitement to murder or to kidnapping or to the revival of the slave trade as criminal. So what he's saying is we should not ever demand uninhibited tolerance. We shouldn't have what we see going on right now with the LGBTQ plus community versus the way traditional conservative people may look at things about what is a man, what is a woman. If we force people to tolerate the most oppressive and unfounded ideologies in our society, then we eventually will provide an endorsement of those values, and we will completely disengage the rest of society from having a future rational argument. So therefore, we can't ignore and censor the intolerant, because if we do so, that is likely some of the most vulnerable citizens in the future, according to Popper. I found this pretty interesting. I wanted to kind of run this by my listeners here at the start of today's show, because what is it that you're being asked to be tolerant of? I mean, just last week we talked with Chris Michaels. I brought on Father John Gerberich. We discussed the Dodgers game that's coming up on June 16th, the Sisters of Indulgence, Perpetual Indulgence, where these people dress up, these men dress up as female nuns, but then they go one step further, gyrating on a crucifix, doing kind of like pole dancing in front of a family-friendly oriented show. Is that family-friendly? Is that family-oriented? Is it rational to have that conversation? Or should I think about, well, how have they been hurt? You know, how have they been hurt and why are they doing this? Well, no, it's a Major League Baseball game. Let's just have a rational conversation here. I'm not being intolerant. I'm actually practicing tolerance and rationale in my argument. And I think that that's an important thing for us to be able to do. So if anybody else wants to look this up, the other concept of this is called the paradox of tolerance. It comes from that 1945 book, but I highly recommend you look into this. Now, some people have said that the problem with Popper's reasoning in all of this, to give you the opposite side here, is there can be a self-righteous behavior that comes out of following Popper. And that might be where you see like your Matt Walsh's, right? That could be where you see the individuals like on the Daily Wire, where you're just like, all right, these people are just being completely over the top on this as well. And they're really not looking to get into sincere conversations. Now, if you want to do that, just understand you're going to need to make everybody else uncomfortable and upset with you because they don't believe that you want to have a reasonable conversation either. And so therefore, you're going to reinforce the intolerance as well. So I think that that's something that you should pay attention to as well. We don't want to bring on more intolerance by being so conceited in what you believe that you just become a jerk about things, right? You can maintain being good natured in having conversations. I think my show does that pretty well on a daily basis. I think that I keep it pretty well balanced. I'm not trying to offend people, but I'm trying to get to the crutch of why things matter to other individuals in this country. Why are people put off? What are people seeing in all of this? And I think that that's something that's really important to do. We've got to handle this conversation of tolerance immediately, because I don't think we have much longer left before we're really going to have a completely changed society. And I know some people would say, well, that's the progressive society we deserve. I don't believe that that's the progressive society we deserve. I believe it's a society that will eventually collapse. There's a funny insight of rationale that the conservatives have been using in all this. It's like, well, just allow the progressive Democrat liberals to do whatever they want to do, because eventually they'll no longer be in power because they won't have any kids. It will just be conservatives having kids. And so it's a problem that will eventually, 100 years from now, take care of itself. And the irony of that is it's absolutely true. It's 100% true. When I taught the different individuals about whether or not they want to have children, it's very interesting to me that young people now, they point out a few different things. They're normally like, well, no, I'm not going to have kids. I'm not bringing kids into this world because the world's pretty messed up. Well, why is the world pretty messed up? Let's first get into that, right? Or it's too expensive to raise children now, so I don't want to have children. All right. Well, what do you think is going to happen in the future for you when you become a grandparent of age? Because obviously they won't be grandparents if they don't have kids, but you get my point here. What happens when they become in their 70s and 80s? And all of a sudden, there's no one to take care of them at the hospitals. There's not enough people, citizens that have been born in order to keep up with things. Or they're deemed people that are, you know, kind of outcast because they're not with the rest of society. I think that that's part of this whole open societies and its enemies that Popper's trying to get to. If you completely destroy society with this ask for tolerance, eventually society's right to self-preservation will be enacted, and violence normally will be the only other thing. It's violence, or it will just naturally die out. This will disappear in about 100 years, 2 generations. That's what we will likely see. So what do you think? Have you ever given any thought to, does your tolerance go too far? Does it mean that they're asking for acceptance or not? Does it mean something else, something different? Just wanted to kind of get the party started here on the show with that as a topic at the very beginning. Now, let's get straight into the headlines of the past day here on Tuesday, right? What are the big stories that are going on? Well, Dianne Feinstein, there is a photo that the Drudge Report got. I don't know how they got this photograph of her, but she is not looking good whatsoever. Apparently, her aides are basically running the show at this point in time. She has people that are keeping her just outside the Senate office, where they just roll her in when she needs to say aye or nay. They tell her what she's supposed to say. Everybody's just running the show for her. She is not doing the work herself. So those 40 million Californians that are being represented right now, I want to ask you, how's that working out for you right now? Do you feel confidence in Feinstein? And should the people that are representing Feinstein be the ones running the show? In fact, even a year ago, there's a story that appeared on Yahoo that I saw, where a year ago she saw Kamala Harris running the proceedings. She goes, well, what's she doing here? She had no concept that that's actually where Kamala Harris was supposed to be, showing her memory was not where it should be. And so when she had a biographer, Jerry Roberts, back in the 1990s, she said, you can't let staff run you. The person in charge has to be the guiding post. Well, Dianne, if that's the case, I think now's the time to step down and allow those 40 million Californians be represented by somebody who is capable. Or Democrats, I have a question for you. Are you okay with a bunch of invalids being able to run the country right now, from Fetterman to Feinstein? Are you okay with that? I mean, that's the same question I have with Republicans right now as well. You know, are you okay with the ugliness of the Republican Party? Are you okay with that fringe side that really incites people, but it's not really doing good work as this is all happening? I'm not okay with it. Just as I'm not okay with people that can't complete their job. I think that's really, really important. All right. And then the debt ceiling. All right. The debt ceiling deal has still not gotten done after Monday. And here we are on Tuesday. I told you guys, we had 72 hours. Now, I believe this whole thing's going to pass. I don't think that it's going to get shot down. But the votes still have to happen. And after this Memorial Day recess, people coming back today, will they have the text in writing for them to start to review? Or will this drag out until the 31st? And then we're looking at June 3rd, June 4th, or getting into the weekend. Do they call them back in for the weekend to vote? All eyes will be on Congress right now to find out what's going to happen. The main questions that I think I want to know about is, what exactly did the Republicans and Democrats get out of this deal? Why should Democrats vote for what the Republicans are asking for in a majority? Well, I believe they're going to do it because they don't want to see default, because they'll say, well, look, we're the ones holding it up. Meanwhile, the Republicans are going to say, well, we made the cuts that were necessary to try to keep us out of this next year. We're going to try to make sure that we start reining in the spending. We're going to rein in our finances just as the way that the rest of Americans have to. On the second half of the show, we're going to cover some other interesting headlines that just kind of caught my attention. Joe Biden was asked a question about Donald Trump. Marianne Williamson's back into the race once again. And the Biden campaign's a little bit concerned that Donald Trump may not be the candidate. All that and a little bit more on the second half coming right up. Make sure you go to AmericaOutloud.com. You can check out all of our sponsors. By supporting them, you help support the show as well as the network. Bring all of this content to you each and every day, 365 days a week. All right, everybody, you're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network.
Well, the Out Loud Truth was the rallying call that started it all. A wide spectrum of programming, from world and political news to societal, your health, and cultural stories. 7 amazing years of news stories, informative podcasts, and great talk radio. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. Be a part of a revolutionary new healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interests of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
If you're like me, you'd like life to return to some kind of normal. You're burned out on all the fear-mongering, but deep down you try and minimize viral exposure and your risk of getting sick. You've heard it talked about time and again by respected medical professionals. Use a povidone iodine nasal solution. I don't need to tell you just how powerful a nasal cleansing formula with xylitol, povidone iodine, and vitamin D3 for immune support could be. In fact, my attorney told me not to tell you. Google it and find out for yourself. Now, get yourself a bottle of American-made Cofix RX nasal solution. Let's get out and live again. CofixRx.com. That's CofixRx.com. Use coupon code OUTLOUD and get 20% off.
Welcome back, Bold Americans. Second half of the show. Let's get straight into it. Getting into those headlines of what's going on, Joe Biden's campaign apparently is very worried that Trump will not be the nominee because they feel that if Trump isn't the nominee, they don't know what they're going to run on. They might have an 80-year-old man out there versus a 50-year-old or 40-year-old or 60-year-old looking as a stark contrast, and then they'll actually have to talk about the issues that matter to voters. They'll have to address the failures of the Biden presidency. So the worst case scenario for them would be to have somebody like Trump fall apart going into the nomination. They also believe that they can handle Ron DeSantis. They don't see Ron DeSantis as a big issue for them because of what has happened in Florida. They believe that the abortion issues, the book banning, the Disney stuff will all go straight for energizing their Democrat base. They believe that that will just show that everybody is extreme in what's going on. So who's running for president anyway at this point in time? Well, we know that Joe Biden is going to be running again. He made his announcement a few weeks ago. What you may not know is there are several new people that have just entered the race. We have Robert F. Kennedy Jr., which he entered a couple weeks back. I think it was in April, actually. He filed April 5th, the FEC, and then he announced on a Twitter space right afterwards. That's going to be an interesting one because, as Chris Michaels and I both said, a lot of the talking points of Donald Trump and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. are the same. They're very similar candidates. The difference there is Kennedy has the Kennedy name. He's the nephew of President John F. Kennedy, and he is the son of Robert F. Kennedy, who was also killed. He is a best-selling author. He wrote the book, The Real Anthony Fauci, which I would like to point out for everybody saying, oh, it's a bunch of made up stuff. Tell me where the lawsuits are on any of that content from that book. There were zero lawsuits because the content was 100% accurate about Fauci. It was a damning book. If you haven't had a chance to read it, you should. It's like a Bible size book. It's 1,000 pages plus, but it's well worth it. I don't know if it's actually 1,000 pages, but it felt like it when I was reading through it. I have the book in here somewhere. It's on my desk, but anyway, moving on. So we have Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who also did a lot with the environmental issues. He was an environmental lawyer for years working on clean water. So that would be interesting with East Palestine and Flint, Michigan. Seems like no one gets anything done in the Democrat Party either with that. Maybe he would. But everybody's most confusing candidate from before, Marianne Williamson, she's officially jumping into the race against Joe Biden. Now, she's a spiritual advisor who sought the Democratic nomination back in 2020. But she really didn't do much, and she eventually supported Andrew Yang once she dropped out. This is good in some respects because I think it's a positive to have people running against Joe Biden. But this is the best the Democrats can do. Like, really, all you can do is find one of Oprah Winfrey's friends in order to run for president. Are we going to get Oprah next? Is Oprah going to announce her bid for presidency? I mean, she's getting up there in age. So at this point in time, Oprah, if you're going to do it, because everybody used to say that, you know, Oprah Winfrey could run for president. She could possibly win. I mean, she's 69 years old, same age as RFK Jr. Yeah, it's about your time. It's either now or in the next 4 years. After that, the door likely has closed for you. Although Joe Biden might be smashing that glass ceiling on age pretty soon, but we'll also probably find, you know, the mortality of somebody is higher. So you're going to have a good vice president candidate, which brings me to the Republican candidate. So we got two people currently that are announced running against Joe Biden, but the Republican nominations, when I looked to find out who's all declared, I found there was actually more people than I realized in the race. And everybody knows Donald Trump's in the race. And we also know that the DA has set the case for March of 2024, which basically means that it's right in the middle of the election, which is ridiculous. Nikki Haley joined in a while ago. And she's an interesting pick because she worked for the Trump administration for just almost 2 years. I think it was January 2017 till December of the following year, 2018. So one of the longest working people for Trump. A lot of people quit midway through, but she was a United States diplomat to the United Nations. That would be pretty interesting because I'll tell you something that she likes, and this goes with something I was saying at the end of the first half. She believes that there should be a mandatory mental competency test for any politician over the age of 75, which people were like, that's a jab at both Biden and Trump, as Trump is 76, Biden's 80. But what's wrong with that, really? What's wrong with a mental competency test to make sure that you're fit to serve? I mean, people go and they get their physicals, right? Make sure that their bodies can handle the stress of all of running a country and doing things. I mean, would Fetterman be in office at this point in time? Would Dianne Feinstein be in office if they were taking this mental competency job test? Would Kamala Harris be in office? Because she's not the sharpest tool in the shed. I think that's just a matter of intelligence, but that's a whole other issue. So Nikki Haley's running. We got Vivek Ramaswamy, who is a biotech executive, and he's also somebody who has money to spend on his own campaign. He's worth about $600 million. He calls himself an anti-woke capitalist, but he's high into the investments of the environmental, social, and governance principles. He has ties right now to J.D. Vance, who's a senator, and Peter Thiel. And Peter Thiel has said he wasn't going to support anybody this election. So I'm not sure that's for Ramaswamy. That's really a great endorsement. Here's somebody I didn't even know was running. Larry Elder, the conservative talk radio host. Yep, that's right. He's running as well. He last ran for the recall back in 2021 against Gavin Newsom, but he lost. Which, that's saying something. I mean, Gavin Newsom was like a dying dog in the middle of a highway. It didn't look like he could be saved, and he managed to lose to him. I still, if you can't beat Gavin Newsom when he's a maimed puppy, then you're not going to be able to win the presidency, Larry. Asa Hutchinson, the former governor of Arkansas, became one of the presidential nominees back in April, and I had no idea. And I even had to look because I didn't even know who the hell this guy was. Apparently, he was one of the House impeachment managers for President Bill Clinton's impeachment trial. Followed this one under. This guy's got no shot whatsoever at becoming the nominee. He's 72 years old. He doesn't have name recognition. I don't see a Asa Hutchinson as being elected president. And let's be honest, name matters. Tim Scott, talked about him last week because the left was basically saying he wasn't black enough for them, that he apparently was denying what it's like for black Americans, even though he was raised as a black male in the United States. That is his identity, but apparently that's not good enough for the left. Anyway, and I shouldn't even say the left, because I'm sure there's plenty of people on the left that wouldn't go with the craziness of The View. But my point being is, he actually, I think, has some upside to him. He has some upside to him because with the Republicans, he's kind of like that Herman Cain type of figure. He's very optimistic in the way he presents himself. And I expect him to be on the stage when they get into the debates. And I expect him to represent himself pretty well. I think Tim Scott's going to have an interesting run for president. Ron DeSantis. You just heard what I said a few moments ago. The Biden campaign's not afraid of Ron whatsoever. I'm not afraid of Ron whatsoever. I don't think he's the person to be nominated. I've said this previously. He's not what he's cracked up to be. He's got major question marks alongside his name. And then we should hear pretty soon that Mike Pence is going to be running for president. We've kind of heard that might be coming any day now. So maybe sometime this week we might hear it, or sometime in June, but it's going to have to be announced pretty soon. And people are wondering whether the governor of New Hampshire, Chris Sununu, is going to be running. Now, he is somebody who has, I think, some upside because He doesn't like the extreme candidates. He would bring back that Cole kind of moderate Republican and Democrat type of feeling. I think that that would be an interesting individual to be put in. He's kind of like the Mitt Romney, except he's not Mitt Romney, thank God. But that he'd be an interesting person. Glenn Youngkin, also, I think that we might see Glenn Youngkin, the governor of Virginia, possibly get into the race. Although he said that he will not get into the race, he's going to be concentrating on Virginia. I see this guy as a dark horse candidate, somebody that should get into the race, even if it's just to build his brand for 4 years after the fact. That would be pretty important. And then Doug Burgum, who's the North Dakota governor, people are saying he may also. I don't see him doing too well. He is somebody who has tied to Bill Gates. That's going to be a death blow to a ton of voters right there. I don't see that happening. And then there's a lot of people that have decided they're not going to run as well in that election. But that's kind of what I'm thinking right now. I think that, you know, when I see people like Glenn Youngkin, that would be wise. Chris Sununu, bring back kind of that moderate thing. Mike Pence, I don't think is going anywhere. I think he'll run, but I don't think he'll get too far in the race whatsoever. But it will make for some interesting fireworks between Donald Trump and him, should they be on the same stage. That would be. All right. Now, some of the other headlines that kind of popped up. So Peter Ducey always has some fun questions here for the president or for the press secretary. But this time he was outside as Joe Biden was getting ready to get onto the helicopter, I guess, to go to Rehoboth, Delaware for Memorial Day weekend, or even to go to Camp David before going there, somewhere around those. He was actually at a school here in Middletown, not far from my home, his granddaughter's graduation he was speaking at. So I know he wasn't in Rehoboth or Camp David for part of that because he flew into the airport about 2 minutes from my house. Anyway, make a long story shorter. So apparently when Ron DeSantis was asked about Donald Trump, if he got in to be president, he said, you know, would you offer a pardon to Donald Trump? And Ron DeSantis was like, yeah, you know, I'd look at all these different cases, but obviously, you know, a lot of these judges are biased towards conservatives, and I would likely look to possibly pardon him. Yes. So Peter Ducey asked the question to Joe Biden. They said, you know, would you be open, like Ron DeSantis, if he's charged with federal offenses, and would you be open to pardoning Trump? And Joe Biden just puts his left hand up, waves him off. Then he kind of pretends he doesn't hear him. He laughs and he goes, I'll see you guys. That's a great question. But he says it kind of under his tongue. Peter Ducey, I will say this. I'm not a big Fox fan whatsoever, but you keep asking those questions. It's enjoyable for me. You know what the answer is. They've been trying to get that guy in prison. It's the same thing if you said to Donald Trump, would you be open to pardoning Hillary Clinton should she be charged by federal prosecutors? You know that Donald Trump would have handled that question the exact same way. Despite that, Fox is running that story like it's some big deal. It's not a big deal. I'm glad that Biden didn't respond to it. He did the right thing in that moment. Let's see. What else have we been discussing here? We've talked about the debt ceiling before the break. I got into the whole Joe Biden, who he's afraid of. I'm just trying to remember what else. Oh, there's one other story that I wanted to go into. So we're in graduation season right now. Graduation from high school, graduation from college. A lot of colleges, those ceremonies have already happened at the beginning of May. But as we are getting into high school graduation, we're now seeing that the job market, more and more individuals are going straight into the labor market instead of going off to college. In fact, now the unemployment rate for teenage workers between 16 to 19 is at a 70-year low of only 9.2%, which is also leading the way from what the government's showing to larger pay increases. So we're starting to question, I think, rightly so, the value of a college education. As a high school teacher, I've often stated that, yes, I went to college. I benefited from college. It opened up a ton of doors. That all stated, there are a ton of colleges now. There's a ton of degrees and a lot of things that probably won't make you a ton of money. So unless you're going to school to become a doctor, a lawyer, or into one of those type of professions that really need you to be an expert in those, perhaps going straight into the labor market and not putting yourself into $100,000 plus worth of debt simply to get a college degree, that might be something that you should look at. One of the reasons why I like teaching as a career education teacher, giving students life skills, training in order to be successful. Now, as a audio, radio, video broadcast engineer teacher, I get my students to understand how to do podcasting, do radio stations, sales for commercials. I get them into the different parts of Foley Sound where they could create their own database, show them websites they can upload their work to where they could start getting paid now while they're in high school, as well as the television production side. And we've worked with individuals that are pretty high up. I won't drop names, but we've worked with some very prominent people, and my students have been offered work with them, which has been awesome to see. And I think that's really important to have that opportunity to be trained in something and then immediately go into that as a career field and not, you know, just bury yourself in debt. Keep your foot forward on the debt cycle. It's already bad enough out there. We don't want to see things get worse for individuals. So I thought that was a pretty cool headline. There's a couple other things that I had, but I think I'm going to save those for tomorrow for the show. Maybe they're just not as important for what I wanted to talk about. There was a story about CPR that I thought was interesting, but maybe I can get somebody who's a nurse or a doctor on to talk with you guys about that. Because I thought it was an interesting story. It basically was saying maybe CPR, the merits of it, are not as good as people believe. But I think I'd rather have a somebody in the health profession talk about that. I haven't had Dr. Peter McCullough on in forever. It's been since December. So maybe I will reach out to him to talk about this. As a cardiologist who knows a little about CPR, I'm curious where he would fall into that. So I'm going to send him an email after I hang up this podcast today and reach out to him. All right, everybody, I hope that I honored your time well. As always, you can go to my website, americaemboldened.com, where you can see all past episodes, subscribe to my Substack, help support the show. There's ways that you can donate. You can even purchase a hat. You can purchase a hoodie, a t-shirt, and get a coffee mug. So you can be part of that whole bold nation when you wake up in the morning for whatever that you're into. Put that in that coffee mug and enjoy, or just sit back, relax, and listen to the show. I'll be back tomorrow with some more great content talking about the stories that matter to you guys. I hope that you're having a great week so far. You've been listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network. Be bold, America.